Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
So we're in Trafford Bar and a quick debrief after the Glazers Out protest. They've got there's five of us here, five Reds.
They're going on the pitch. Whilst I wouldn't have done it myself, it's obviously had some impact, you know, which is what the protest is ultimately all about. And I think if he does get the game called off, then that's certainly a statement. It's actually making an impact, isn't it? From our own experience, just being outside the ground, it was a good turnout, and it was a good sort of, you know, almost like a carnival atmosphere, really, with the flares and the banners. And so, you know, it was. I'm glad it came down anyway. So.
Yeah. I think the particular highlight, to be fair, was probably singing, as you said, on the way out, was that Edison Cavani song.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd never actually get to sing it with all the Reds, so that was great. Yeah, enjoyed that bit.
What's your thoughts on the protest then?
I think it's great. It's about time, isn't it? As long as they get the message and fuck off, that's what we're all here for.
And what about the turnout?
Amazing. Absolutely incredible. I never thought it'd be that many people there. So must have been tens of thousands of people there today, usually.
Yeah. At least 10,000. It was a good turnout. Yeah, good turnout.
Yeah, definitely. So, Nathan, prime seller, prime also official Red News photographer for the day. I'm sure a few of the pictures are going to leak online later on. He's also spilt a beer on my crotch just literally moments before pressing record. Would you like to make an apology to the Red News listeners for spilling at least half a pint of Cobra on my crotch?
Absolutely not.
No, I didn't think you would. What are your thoughts on the protest / your photography attempt for today?
I think my photo is going to be great. I'm ready to have a look at them, but
not modest at all.
No, not at all. No. I think that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't have gone as far as some people did, but I think, like other people have said, if it means the game's postponed, I think it definitely will because of like breaching COVID. Then it's job done for the day, I think, because it's a massive day, it's a massive game, and the fact that I know that they probably won't just give the points to Liverpool, but the fact that City could win the league today, it's huge, and what. It's huge for us, but whether it makes a difference to the actual owners, who knows? But like Ben said before, you want to know that you were there to stand up for it. And I think that's the main thing because, you know, like it's been a long time since they took over and the initial protest happened, but momentum. I think this is a case of momentum that we knew all along that they were like this, and it's a good way of kickstarting again. And we can only do what we can do, and at the moment, this is all we can do. So, I think that's fair enough. It was good.
Agree. Any particular highlights from today?
The Edison Cavani song, like you've already said it, and you're banning it. Careful now, down with this sort of thing.
I hope that banner goes worldwide. I must admit, I'm a bit of a loose Father Ted fan, so I've not seen it myself, but Barney made me write that banner. But you were a fan of the banner?
I was a fan of your banner, but I did prefer the one that said Joe Glazer stinks of piss. That was my favourite banner.
I think that was my favourite banner as well. Also,
my favourite was John O'Shea is better than Tampa Bay.
We'll ignore that one and we'll leave that.
Hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 109 and we haven't got much to talk about, have we? Fucking hell. Bonkers couple of weeks in a completely bonkers year. So I even forgot to check if Agallo scored or not. So sorry, that'll come next time. And it seems a bit contrite to me making jokes, really. This is serious shit. If you're listening to this for the first time, take into context that we're all addicts of Manchester United. So some of what we say might be hard to comprehend unless you're in that addict's seat, really. So we'll try and make as much sense, and it's all our personal views and see where we get to. But my own view, the narrative has started to change today a little bit. But I think if you get to the key elements of 99.5% of the people didn't just mean well, but acted well, yesterday, and the start result of not speaking to us for 16 years, treating us like shit for 16 years, the disdain towards us. And they don't even get it, because in the statement today, you know, we continue to have dialogue with the fans forum. And I just thought, you know, I know it was 4 years ago that they were asking about the heat of jacket potatoes, but come on, you know, you've got to actually start listening to what we're going on about now. Because if you're just going to come out with the same platitudes, then nothing's going to be done and nothing's going to be learnt here. And I will say, I'm proud that Red News has continued to educate about the Glazers in 16 years, but I've felt for some time, and I've been saying this, that you pass the baton on. My way wasn't working. The way I wanted to approach it hasn't worked completely. So, and like many, we're getting old. There were a lot of people, you know, I'm sure when I talked to Nick and Coggy and Ben, who were there, that are old timers and old faces, but this has been a long time that, you know, this has needed to change. And it's not for 50 to 60 year olds to tell people anymore. The whole landscape's changing. And I think, you know, this thing that Sky, well, you stand up against football greed. Oh, but hang on, get back in your box. And there's a good article on Sport Witness, you know, get back in your box, football fans. Now, we come from an era where we lived through the 1980s, Coggy through the 1940s, 50s, 30s and 20s. But we know what real, you know, trouble was. So you have to put into context that, and especially with the video of the door opening, you know, there's going to be a lot of mistruths coming out. But so far, there's been one arrest. You know, fucking hell, all of us who've been to Manchester United, Liverpool games, even in the recent past, and for about 15 years where we've sold, the same Liverpool bus has chucked piss at the same area, not at us exclusively, but, you know, like, so, and there was a game about 20 years ago, which was awful at the Keys. So, you know, you have to put into context. Now, I don't want to see any United fan nicked. I don't want to see any reports of injuries, you know. But I think that if the narrative on, you know, football fans are this marauding, you're not listening. You're not listening to the 10,000 there. You're not, you know, and you've got to start listening. And that's why, you know, out of strange areas, Carragher making sense. So, and there's a lot to make sense of, but you've got to listen. It's not about trophies. You know, I cringed watching Match of the Day when they talked about net spend. Listen, you know, because we're in a Cup Europa League final. In 2005, we're in an FA Cup final. In 2010, we'd just come out of the European Cup final. So if you're going to go with this view that United fans are doing it because they're not being successful, you're not listening to us. And people need to start listening. Why we've been going on for so much. And I really hope that things change. And I know that there's, the hard part is there's 76,000 a game, and how many thousands and hundreds of thousands out there that you try and carry as many United fans along with everyone as possible. And I don't want to see the fallings out that happened. I will say, for a game, Manchester United, Liverpool, for a game, we're not there to be called off. Well, we all had that farce with Bilder Bodger at Bournemouth at home with a fake bomb scare. You know, that was called off. So, again, let's get it into context. So, right, I'm going to go to the elder statesman first. Coggy, hello.
Hi, lads. My only regret about yesterday is that it wasn't 2005. Because I think if we'd have shown that sort of passion and that unity and that number, in 2005, we may have solved the problem a lot earlier than we that hopefully we will do soon. Yesterday was interesting, actually, because there was people there to protest. There were people there just wanting to go to be on the piss because it was like being at a match again, and there was an element that wanted to be mischievous, to say the least. But, you know, whilst I don't condone any violence, whether it's from supporters or police for that matter, you know, a protest is supposed to be disruptive. And we've tried peaceful protests. We tried them in 2005, we tried them in 2010. They didn't work. The whole world is talking about this now. And, you know, for all the issues around the violence and everything, the fact is that getting that game postponed was far stronger than anything we've done previously. And I commend everybody that went there yesterday. You know, my only shock was the violence that I saw when I came home, because when we left at, 3:30, 3:45, it was very peaceful, high-spirited. Yeah, that got into the ground. There was hardly any police around, and it was good. It was a good day out. So I was quite shocked to see the violence. Later on in the day, but fair play to everybody, and we now need to continue this.
Well, I would say, you know, you were sending photos. There were kids there. There were families there. So again, it goes against this. You know, if you've had accurate reporting of it, but you distrust elements of who's going to comment. I mean, I personally, I don't know how or what's, you know, because it's very organic. I thought Pete Ball made the good point that it wasn't just fanzine readers, you know, it wasn't like the old days, that this is changing, and it's changing in a way that none of us can say. I mean, I honestly think I discussed it with you last time. I'd never tell another United fan what to do, what to think. All I'm saying is I'm in quite a tortured place. I've been since the whole Super League thing about renewing. And I don't know. I admire Shane for saying he doesn't think he can, because I don't know if I can. I don't know where I'm at to that point. But I think that's the next logical step to for us to discuss it. And I don't know. And I feel heartbroken. You know, there was a sad tangent. I told you all that my boy was crying his eyes out at the game being called off, you know, and he was absolutely, and it was impossible to expect, you know, it's far, and it just felt, none of this is easy for any of us, none of this, you know, and it would, but you all said at the time how few police there were. So, you know, things always come out later, and I don't want to go all David Icke conspiracy, but, you know, they'd been known. It just surprised me when I saw photos of how few people were prepared. But wouldn't it be the most apt Glazer thing ever that they wouldn't pay for the proper, you know, level that they needed to, because you think, I don't know, it just felt, the whole thing felt very weird. So I'm going to go, gone coggy quickly, mate, and then
I mean just on that point, I think the issue with United is that obviously the just beyond the forecourt and where the Trinity statue is, it's council owned land, so by rights police, you know, should be there. I don't believe United thought as many people would turn up, and I think that's the reason why they didn't have police on United land. But I think before the game, I saw two police officers before the game, you know, and they were letting people walk around with bottles of beer and cans of beer, which on a match day you can get nowhere near the ground. So I don't think they expected the amount of people to turn up, and I just thought they thought, oh, you know, it'll be a few hundred, and that's it.
So Nick, I'll go to you next, then Ben, then Shay. But it just feels like, you know, this whole thing of football fans, you know, and the dynamic of, well, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, but what we were doing wasn't getting heard, you know, like repeatedly, regularly. And it's like, oh, we get that you want to have a say and an input, but just shut up, you know, that's it now, go back to your box. And that's not going to be a healthy way. So, sorry, Ben, go on, mate.
Yeah, I thought when you said we're coming on to talk about the events of the last 24 hours, it was going to be line of duty, so I think I'm on the wrong podcast. No, I mean, obviously my experience yesterday was similar to Coggy's, really. We were stood close together for a lot of the afternoon, and, you know, it was, when I turned up, it was a kind of carnival atmosphere, really, and we saw very little trouble around us. And at the time we left, yeah, I was similarly, you know, surprised when I got home to sort of see what had subsequently gone on with the police. I must say, their statement this morning or last night, whenever it came out, annoyed me, because it seemed to be suggesting that, you know, many of the people, I think was the language they used, which was implying that the majority of the people, I felt from that, were out there for, you know, to cause trouble, which definitely wasn't the case. And I think that's led a lot of the sort of misreporting that we've seen since, really. I think in terms of the impact of the day, as Coggy said, it was a huge statement. And I think, you know, reading between the lines, a lot of fans of other clubs are looking on at that and are quite, you know, will be kind of impressed, if you like, or, you know, they'll be wishing it was them, because it's all very well standing outside protesting. And, you know, to be fair, that's all I was doing yesterday. We turned up, but we were outside. If that's all that had happened and the game had gone ahead, it would have been very easy to ignore, wouldn't it? So I think, you know, I wouldn't have done it myself, but the people who went on the pitch, the people who were outside the Lowry, ultimately it was down to them that the game was postponed. And I think the Glazers can't ignore that, can they? You know, they can quite easily ignore 10,000 people protesting peacefully outside the ground, but they can't ignore a Premier League game against Liverpool that's being broadcast all around the world, being postponed like that. And, you know, as Coggy said, you know, for a protest to be effective, it has to be disruptive. And that's true in any kind of protest. You know, if you look back through history, people have caused disruption to get results, and, you know, that to get noticed, that's ultimately what you have to do.
It surprised me. I did ultimately think they'd try and play it at fucking midnight if they could. And maybe it was a consequence of COVID and all that they just simply had to say, because I thought they don't want to say, we'll call a game off like this. They must have fucking hated the fact. But so, you know, like, fanzines were born out of protest. This isn't the element of, you know, fans wanting a voice is not new. And this is 16 years in the making. This is 16 years of being, and what was depressing but not surprising is when you switch on Match of the Day and you got Jermaine Genus and Shearer going, well, I don't really know, you know, I haven't done my research. Well, you paid an exorbitant amount of money in football to be a commentator and pundit, to do some research and to come out with these things that you think, you know, but the problem is, because they're regurgitating it, you see it repeated, that the mass missed the point of this. Sorry, Nick, go on.
Can I finish before, just before you go on to Nick, can I just say that a bit about Genus and Shearer? Mark Chapman's a United fan. Why hasn't Mark Chapman told them before they came on air, this is the problems that we're having?
Well, that's why I think I'm glad they had Andy on to talk sense, and I say Andy, Pete and Jay had done really well. And I'd like to, you know, to add to those points that you said, you know, the ground, the lack of investment in that ground. And what I will, sorry, Nick and Shane, but the one thing, you know, again, like, I'm not saying a nobility amongst United fans, but we should be very proud of what Manchester United supporters represent, is the fact that under this Super League, I have no doubt if it had come along that the Glazers would have dished out half the kitty or whatever back to the club. And we might have got the ground investment. We might have got the players. But we said no. So, you know, like all these things that I've said this before, we're accused of for years and years by ABUs. We're actually standing going, no, we're not going to accept that. So go on, Nick. Sorry, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, just really agree with what Coggy and Bennett said. You know, as soon as we came down yesterday, it looked like it was going to be a party atmosphere. And everyone said that it was going to start from 2, but everyone was there well before that, starting to congregate. You know, as Coggy said, people were drinking beers, stood next to the police officers, and they weren't doing anything. You know, I think they sort of realised very quickly that, you know, they'd underebbed it a little bit, and all these fans were turning up. I remember saying, I said to Ben when we stood there, I think it was you, Ben, I said, she's great. I said, I've not managed to sing the Cavani song yet at all. You know, it was great just to have a little bit of a chant and a gather. And I think a lot of people probably have gone there for a little bit of that, as well as the protest and stuff. I said to Nathan on the way out when we were leaving, and I said, you know what? I said, it wouldn't feel right, would it really, now, after everything that we've done, to walk back to yours now and sit there and watch the game? I said, it's literally counterproductive for everything that we tried to do. So, you know, I'm kind of glad that it didn't go ahead, because I would have felt a bit dirty having to sit there watching after what's just gone through. I mean, I was surprised at how many young people there yesterday. You know, I thought it was a good turnout from the youth. You know, I think, you know, there's always been a few, haven't there, that not necessarily always go, or, you know, they can't get tickets, or, you know, they're priced out from it. You know, I think it was a good amount for them to turn up. The only thing I'll say on it, though, is that this has got to continue, because I know you were saying that the Glazers have got to stand up and they've got to take note of it and things like that, but, you know, the thick-skinned bastards, got to remember that the business people, you know, the high up business people, they really aren't going to be thick skinned about it. You know, they'll let the dust settle on this. They wait to try and let the dust settle on the Super League stuff. You know, they've obviously gone through this before. Don't forget there is precedent from when they bought the club. But, you know, these protests did go away. They started to come back, but they go away again. And we don't see that many of them. You know, we had the Woodward one. I think we played Norwich and beat a 4-0. And we had the Woodward. Everyone was printing off P45s and it was going around and things. It just didn't quite take off as much as it could have done. So I think this is the thing now, is that this can't just be a one-off. You know, as Coggy says and Ben says, is that protests are meant to be disruptive. This is something that if people are serious about it, they have to continue doing it for me, and it can't be a one-off thing. And I worry a little bit that it might be a one-off thing, and there might not be something as immediate again for maybe the next home game and a home game after that. And we need to make sure that there's more than one statement of it, I think.
But this is where, you know, like, again, the emotions and how much, you know, like that heartbreaking feeling that... You know, about season tickets, I just think, and this is just me, myself, internalising it all and trying to go, you know, could I look myself in the mirror? But I feel heartbroken. I just don't know. You know, we're a day after, but I don't want it to dissipate. I don't want the Glazers to think they can just sit it out and get away with it. But I do think, as I keep saying, government intervention is going to be vital in this. And it was interesting to see that they were still aligned. And I want to see as many United fans. But the way I was doing it was not working. And to see the 20 and 30-year-olds, you know, it's for others to now run with the ball. You know, the 50 and 60-year-olds, we've had our time. You know, the 80s and 90s we were around. So this is, you know, I don't know. It's sometimes very hard because you think you put on the back foot and you're thinking, but you're not listening to you lads, you know, saying about the good-natured spirit. You know, you're taking it off 10-second segments. And the thing that got me, you know, like I know the Sky camera, you know, getting... But that became the headline. But hang on, there's 14,999 other people outside and you're not talking to them. And it was lovely seeing a BBC on the news, a Red News reader, Debbie, lovely lady, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, saying, you know, they've used this club for a cash cow. So, and it's very hard because my responses for tweeting the Glazer, cost of the Glazers, I'm getting a lot of stick because it's just gone viral. And people going, but it's a business. And then this is where it fundamentally, what do you see your football club as? Do you see it as a business or do you see it as the community? An investment in the community, or do you see it as a business where, oh yeah, well, let them do what they want, you know? Right, sorry, Shane.
Yeah, no, I echo, I think, everything everyone said. I think for me, looking at it yesterday, you know, United, we've said it before, United's a broad church, and understandably, you know, we kind of value that broad church and the fact we've got lots of different supporters from different backgrounds, different ages, come from different places, and that's what makes support great, but often it means that we're not that unified. But I think this time around it feels like there's a lot more unity, at least in the cause, maybe some differences in the way you go about it, but generally there's a much more unity than I've sensed for a long time. So I thought that was great. I think a few of you have mentioned the sort of number of young supports there. I thought that's really a big thing for me. You know, I'm one of those, you know, I'm a middle-aged man that moans about it now, and I've moaned about it for years, but I haven't really done anything, if I'm honest with myself. And I thought yesterday, it was great to see that young energy and the support really engage with this, particularly because they were the people that, you know, these out-of-touch owners of the six clubs, you know, in the Premier League, going to the Super League, or with the future, they didn't give a toss about these legacy fans. But actually, yesterday showed them that young people are aligned with the same as us as well. So that was good. And the other thing I was quite proud of was, you know, and I've been guilty of saying this, we often sort of look at other clubs and sort of say, you know, I think there's one recently, Milan, AC Milan fans, their ultras have kind of caused a protest, and we kind of look at them and say, oh God, they know how to protest. We look at the German fans and their sort of collective unity and protesting. We even heard people say, God, but, you know, even the Scousers know how to protest, but United can't. Well, yesterday, supporters of Manchester United, you know, it's the biggest game in the biggest league, and Manchester United fans stopped that game going ahead. I think that's something. That's something to be. That's something incredible, really. I can't see. You know, that's not happened before. And I think, you know, right under the nose of Sky. So I think that was a really, really, really good moment. The sad, you've all touched on it, the sad sort of inevitably straight after you get the kind of establishment media toeing the line, which is inevitable. I think we've got to accept that, as annoying as it is. But I thought it was really good that, like, even though the guy presenting Sky obviously was getting it in the ear to start kind of, you know, bringing out the kind of the one camera throwing thing or the bit of police stuff. But it was good that you had Key, Neville, and I hate to say it, Carragher was probably the best of them countering that and actually kind of giving a balanced view. Soon was a twat on there that we knew, but I think he looked as a silly twat. But you've also talked about Match of the Day. I had to switch it off, and I actually sadly switched it off before Andy Mitchell came on, but it was just embarrassing. As you said, Barney, Jermaine Jenas gets paid to fucking talk about football when he's just clueless. And it just proves that they don't give a toss. In fact, he went down behind, like, I was thinking, I've slated Nicholas Witchell, but at least Nicholas Witchell has a decency to know his trade. Jermaine Jenas he's overtaken Witchell in the cop womble of TV fucking celebrity, in my view.
It's just, it's the Graham Lassau, you know, they appear once and then suddenly they're on every channel and then it's just like, what? But I will say, like, Shane, you know, it's like the interesting, it's a very big, you know, and I don't want to get, but how the working class are treated and have been for a very long time, that it's like, well, yesterday wasn't right, you need to do it differently. Well, we were, no one listened. You know, it's like, so it's exactly... It's a very big,
it's clueless, yeah. It's
but also, Shane, I said I was going to do a podcast, and someone emailed saying, "I hope you're going to say you were against people getting injured." Well, hang on, I'm a tree hugger. I think over the 100 episodes, how many times have I said I'm a tree hugger? So yes, for any benefit of doubt, I don't want anyone getting injured. You know, and like, but also, I'd said repeatedly, and I think it showed in certain elements yesterday. There's a lot of decent, normal United fans working at that club are appalled. So a couple have had incidents where they've been abused verbally, don't want that. And that's, you know, and I think anyone knows that. So,
but if you look, like, I don't know, you have to be careful what you say, but you kind of, like, as many kind of incidents that I've seen footage of since of United fans doing something that people claim they shouldn't. I've seen as many sort of dodgy incidents from the other side of one of you.
But Shane, we shouldn't even...
We've all been to football enough. We've all been to football enough over the years to know often these things go wrong when a kind of relatively peaceful protest with the odd sort of, maybe the odd can might get chucked by one idiot amongst 10,000, but generally it's when the police move in aggressively. And you can clearly see they're sweeping the forecourt.
But that's exactly...
To get that forecourt cleared because they're desperate to play a game.
But that's
there was
exactly
a,
it.
There was a journalist on the radio this morning, I can't remember exactly who it was, but he was there. And it was on TalkSport, and Jim White, who I can't stand, was trying to basically get him to, you know, confirm his biased view that it was all the fans behaving irresponsibly. And this journalist was basically saying, in fairness to him, you know, the police had the batons drawn first. They'd obviously had the instruction to clear the forecourt, as you said there, Shane, and they started moving in. And obviously you can't excuse the people who started throwing bottles and particularly barriers and stuff. But, you know, the aggression didn't necessarily, you know, it's not a one-way thing, is it? You know, and that's the thing that they're trying to sort of cover up with that statement that they've put out.
Let's not forget, like, it's the police that are supposed to be upholding the law, not the ones...
But,
that statement the police put out, it suggested, like you said, Ben, that many were there not for a peaceful protest, and they became aggressive and antagonistic, and then 100 broke into the ground. Now, those 100 that broke into the ground, it was fairly early doors, to be honest, whatever time, I can't remember, and then we had the party atmosphere after that for probably an hour and a half, 2 hours. The violence started, the real violence started when the police came. There's no two ways about it.
But isn't it the statement that, you know, and it's often said that when police have got their batons, you know, raised and charging, is when you've lost... the crowd control, because but that's we've seen this happen, and I don't want it. You know, like if you're going on Sky News on the loop, the endless loop that they have, it's 20 seconds of that, so it shouldn't. You know, the photos of thousands of decent. You know, we're playing into their.
Yeah, I was watching the lads on the pitch. There were young lads, some of them were having a kickabout of a ball. There's Jamie Carragher was standing pitch side. Like this is a fella that spat at a Man United fan before. And even he is saying they were kind of fairly peaceful, harmless protesters with a good cause. Now, that kind of like says something different about fans violently storming the ground.
But isn't the hypocrisy, you know, of Souness? And I'm glad it was brought up immediately. You know, the bloke who in Turkey, put on the centre flag, the flag of his team, and he's acting as if, like, you know, it's Rourke's drift or whatever. Come on, you know, like... No, but this is where... we've got to have intelligent talk about this, and I don't think... It just gets lost, and then...
I think it's been mixed today, Bernie. I think, I mean, there's obviously been, as Shane said, the predictable and inevitable kind of faux outrage from, you know, the tabloid element and the establishment media. And like I say, particularly this morning, Jim White and Simon Jordan, pair of sanctimonious twats, were driving me mad. I had to turn the radio off. And as you said, almost negligent in their roles as well, particularly Jim White, you know, a journalist, apparently. He's asking the question, what are you protesting about? And I'm thinking, you're like anchoring one of the biggest, you know, the best known radio shows on a sports station. You're also on Sky Sports, and you have to ask that question about the biggest club in this country, you know, one of the biggest sporting institutions. You have to ask what they're protesting about. You know, you're not fit to call yourself a journalist. I would say to counter that, I think there has been some more balanced reporting from, I think, Henry Winter wrote an article. Oliver Kay, Jonathan Liu in The Guardian, and as I said, on that same station, I was saying to a couple of lads earlier, the show with Danny Kelly was very good and was basically essentially backing up the fans' cause and suggesting that the greater evil is the Glazers and their ilk, rather than a couple of hundred fans getting into the ground. So I do think that there has been some balance, but certainly, you know, we have seen that kind of extreme
We expected. I want to see the whole of football have its head wobbled to show, you know, the whole thing is broken. The relationship at Manchester United has been broken a very, very long time. And you've absolutely, you know, ignored us, leaked a roof upon us. And you've almost thought, you know, the treat fans as customers, we can just do what we want with you. And if this doesn't, it'll be very interesting. I thought Must have played it very well. You know, there we want to have an answer from you. You know, because it's just, I mean, to even explain to an alien, you know, we're owned by a family who never attend, who've never spoken to us in 16 years, apart from a contrite apology of absolute bollocks. You know, you'd be hard pressed to go, is that fathomable? Is you know, it's just, it's...
Yeah, I think I mean, just to echo what I think, Nick said about young people there. I mean, our class, Nick, is United Youth, and he's talking about, you know, younger people.
I thought you were going to say me, Coggy.
Yeah, it makes me feel old. Some great support. I mean, the girls came over from Bradford. We got Cockney Reds there, lads from Scotland that come down. I mean, you know, the length and breadth of United support, you know, turned up yesterday, but... You're not going to enjoy me saying this, but Anfield Rap have the podcast, and it's worth listening to. They did it straight after the game, and those guys who have been through it with before were totally in support of what we've done, and they are closer akin to what we've done than what half United fans are. Which is sad. They know exactly what we're doing. What we should be doing, and basically applauded us for what we did. you know, and Carragher, you know, again, for me, he's the one person who's stood out from any professional footballer and come out and said what it's like to be a fan. Even more so than Gary Neville, Carragher has really stood up, I think, for United fans this weekend.
But I don't want fans to fracture. You know, I want us to all go with this collective thing that we've got, that we're all fighting for the same thing, which is enough of this greed. You know, but the Super League, that misguided thing that it's about the Super League. No, all it's done is reignite something that has never gone away for so many of us. Whatever we've felt, or that has never gone away, this whole of what they, this betrayal of what they did to our club, what they did to decent Reds, you know, and then to ignore the local community and then wonder like yesterday, oh, they're not very happy. How did you not know that? How did you not know that? Where have you been? What have you done? You know.
I do think it's like, I know you talked about, I know I said last time I'd find it hard to sort of, you know, not renew, and it would, you know, in some ways be a bit selfish on that, and it, you know, it's the one of the biggest things in my life really, outside my family and stuff like that. But like yesterday did make me ponder that, actually it would reduce this funny heart. I think my conscience now would struggle a little bit with that more than what I said last time. But then I'm a bit troubled, like I think Nick alluded to it, what happens next? Because I don't think you get away with a protest like that again. You know, they'll be boxing it off next time, the police will be all over it. And it's, and you know, in credit, like, hopefully there will remain that unity, and be better people than me, better minds than me, thinking about how we can protest. But I've been, you know, credit to Musk, they did, like, I think they seized on the Super League thing very quickly and galvanised stuff, responses very quickly. So, you know, credit to them. I'm still a bit troubled, really, that if we all walk away, I think they'll quite easily replace us in the seats with people that won't vocalise it. And I sometimes think you're better in the camp. But like, even though shouting and singing in the ground doesn't do anything ultimately itself, it all chips away at the sponsor confidence, the investor confidence and that. So I think it's multiple fronts. And I'm just, that's the thing that troubles me. I feel my conscience feels like we should renew. But if we don't renew, who... They quickly fill our seats, and that's the trouble.
It breaks my heart, Shatter. You know, it really does. And it's mad because in the bonkers context of actual pandemic, hundreds of thousands of people dying, you know, that we've obsessed more about United in the last year than probably the year before, you know, like in the real world, that it, absolutely, that we are tortured with this. I do, you know, it's driving me bonkers.
I think the bit about a protest, I mean, there was rumours there'd be a protest next Sunday. I'm not sure that's the right thing to do, to be honest, because I think if the numbers are less, it takes away everything that we've done at this weekend. But I think we need to attack the major sponsors, whether and through that, maybe that's through social media or whatever, I don't know. But I think we need to get at the major sponsors and have an impact on their business to make them think again. I agree with Shane about the season tickets. You know, they would be replaced, particularly if next season we're not at full capacity. And you're probably right. You're probably better off having unhappy supporters in the ground who may chant against the Glazers than people who are nonplussed about it. So, you know, I wouldn't criticise anybody for jacking the season ticket in, but neither would I for keeping the fight going on in the ground.
It's down to that person, Coggy, but I just feel, yeah, you know, it's not like this is a new thing, but it properly tortures me. And to think that they don't even give a shit, you know, we're all just digits into this. I will say one thing. The disappointing thing was getting that 100,000, eventually got that petition signed. But it did make me think, you know, if that's just a one-minute process of signing, and I would say it sounds very boring, but I'd urge everyone to email their MP and say how they feel and use every facet of legality or whatever, or that, and that in a way, you know, small step in a protest to do something to make your voice heard, you know. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, I was just
saying sorry. I don't know what I've done wrong. It's like I'm a Glazer. Sorry.
Apologies.
apology not accepted.
Very good.
I think in terms of the renewal thing, it's very much a person. I don't think there will be realistically ever enough people not do it, and enough people not lining up to replace you, or the, you know, or that's ultimately going to get rid of them. I think it's just, you know, everyone's got their own kind of. We talked about it last time, didn't you? Line in the sand in terms of how long you're willing to continue. But, you know, that's balanced off against the fact that it's, you know, which is what they count on, of course, that it is a kind of addiction, isn't it? It's something that we've done, most of us, for decades now, and it's not easy to walk away from. And walking away from it doesn't necessarily get rid of them anyway. So, you know, everyone's just going to have... That's just, I think, a personal decision for each individual in terms of how much longer you want to keep giving them your own money.
Saying that, I think people on my row go, thank fuck for that. He turns up late. He fucking leaves early to sell. When he has a drink, he's a nightmare. But I will... I mean, we haven't even talked the football, and to some, it's a total irrelevance or something. I was very proud of... the second half display last week, because I thought, you know, if ever there's online Twitter, don't make a comment, you know, half time, what are you doing? Oh, this is doom and gloom. And it was fantastic. And to see that video, that little clip of, was it McTominay shouting, get the sixth goal, get another goal.
I think it was Maguire's one.
Oh, sorry, Maguire. It seems like a lifetime ago, Coggy. That's the man. Yeah. But, you know, absolutely. So, and what I love is this alignment that, come on, Ollie, win. To show it is L-U-H-G. Win the Europa. We are all behind, you know, now, all behind you. Go on, win the trophy. And so that, and I don't know, can I ask you about the line of duty? I thought, what a load of bollocks.
Yeah, I agree.
So, sorry, what's line of duty?
The thing that you've asked me fucking to postpone it for a day. We could have been having this chat yesterday. Or was it Ben? So, sorry, I'm going to say sorry again. Apology, please accept it. I'll say all the apologies that Glazers should have said today for 16 years. Go on, Nick, you haven't said much.
I thought it was quite nice, actually, when we went for a pint afterwards, and... There was a few people there that got the train up from London, and I think there was someone that had come from Scotland that was in the pub as well, that I bumped into in the toilets, actually. I just thought it was nice, really, that, you know, people obviously, you know, care that much, don't they, and make the effort to get that thought. That was great. Just from what Shane said before about, you know, the next steps, really, for me. Now, I mean, the thing is, though, you know, Coggy's right when he says, you know, the next time if there was a protest next week, there probably would be less people. And again, that goes back to part of the problem. You know, we mentioned about AC Milan and things, obviously, that they, you know, they really know how to protest. And, you know, we need to make sure that we continue this message. I mean, you know, what's the difference of going up there and protesting again? It's not like you're not going to be at Old Trafford, you know, each weekend, or certainly one every two weekends anyway for a home game. So why can't it be the norm? You know, if we can't go to the games, it's an easy excuse to have a piss up. I'm sure, you know, the police will cotton on to it and there'll be more of them there. But, you know, we've got to make an effort. And, I mean, I'm prepared to do that. I don't know if everybody else is prepared to do it as well. But I think that's something that we need to do. You know, I don't think we can just let this go and let it die away. Coggy's right. You know, you need to hit them and hit the sponsors as well by, you know, whether it's barraging them on Twitter or whatever it is the answer. But one of the things that I have found quite funny this week is that not to make this into the NFL podcast, as everyone knows, but obviously it's been the NFL draft this week, for those of you who don't know.
Tip me over the edge,
and the Buccaneers have been tweeting like mad. And if you just go onto the Buccaneers' social media page and just read some of the comments, it's just dominated by Man United, angry Man United fans in there, like fuck off, da 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 da. And if you're feeling quite sad, I would go on there and have a little bit of a read, because fans on there have been very, very funny. But a lot of the Americans, they don't get it. No, you know, they don't know as well. Obviously, you know, you can see, you don't expect them to or whatever. But all the reporting that's been on in America, I mean, there was an article in the New York Times today, which is quite good, but it was far down the website. I follow, obviously, the Tampa Bay Times anyway, and all the reporting on there, there was one tiny article right at the bottom. You know, it needs more coverage, and I think if this gathers momentum, which I don't think it will do, I think it will fall flat in its base, and I think the Glazers will ride it out. And
yeah, but Nick, I mean, as Coggy said, the biggest game in the footballing calendar. I mean, it seems mad to even still be saying that a day on.
We're not going to get what we want, which is the Glazers out. I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon, unless we continue doing this. So, yeah, great, the game's been postponed, and that's great, the power of the fans, et cetera, et cetera. But in the bigger picture of it all, does it really mean anything? I personally don't think it does. If we're not going to achieve getting the Glazers out, then it's just all for nothing, isn't it?
I think the battle,
but you don't win the war.
But this is where we've...
Right, Nick, but I think sometimes it's just about getting your voice heard, isn't it? I mean, I think we'd said the same yesterday. You know, I turned up not really thinking this is going to get rid of the Glazers, but, you know, sometimes you've just got to stand up and make your voice heard, haven't you? And the elephant in the room, I think, as we discussed last time, is if we do get rid of the Glazers, what then? You know, who's going to come in and buy it? You know, is it going to be the Saudis? You know, that doesn't sit right with me, as I said last time. And who's to say, you know, anyone that comes in is going to be any better? So that's the worry, isn't it, really? You know, what's the long term? If you do get rid of them, what's the solution that's better than they are?
Yeah, I agree, Ben. And I think the other thing is, like, what, you know, the 50 plus one thing, which I totally support, we're talking like that's going to be years, isn't it? Yeah, this has got to be a sustained thing. You know, if it is successful, it makes the government rethink legislation and put money in, you know, that's not going to happen very quickly. I totally agree, Nick, momentum is too big. We can't let it slip away again, and, you know, we've been guilty of that in the past.
It did make me laugh when all the statements from United, the Premier League, all said, you know, we defend the right to protest. And you think, no, you've never allowed it at Old Trafford. You took away people wearing shirts. You took away anyone having a banner. And it's like, what, really? This is news to all of us. You know, like, so don't treat us with disdain. The one thing, and to go to that tree-hugging thing, is in the past, at certain points, it's disintegrated. United fans have fallen out with each other. That this is, again, is the baton's passed. So it's for others to now unite, come together, don't fall out, try and work on the next steps. But this isn't. I do believe this, and it's not. It might be Nick's, you know, Ben, but it's not our. It's our club, but it's passed on. This is what happened with the Docks Red Army, Coggy. I'm sure from the 60s Reds. We're part of it, but the voices are changing, and that's not a bad thing, because it had to happen with time. Red News isn't going to be around, you know. We strive, quick plug, but to keep going for the next season. But we're coming to the final days of, you know, the years of seasons of it. So this is maybe the moment that we look back in 10, 20 years and say that was the sea change, when new faces came along, new voices to be heard. It's so desperately overdue. For me, that's the biggest thing that I feel good.
I agree with that. I think, sorry, Coggy, I think Shane mentioned it before about the, you know, it does feel like there's a bit of unity around this time, that people are, you know, starting to sort of unite behind the cause a bit again. And, you know, I think it's not, certainly people mentioned the younger Reds coming in, which is obviously really important. But I think also, I mean, I know friends of mine who just didn't get it back in 2005. They just didn't understand what all the fuss was about. And okay, it's taken them a long time, and maybe for some of them that Damascus moment has been the Super League. But I think people do get it now. They can see what these people are all about, and I think that certainly the match going fan base is starting to sort of unify against them in a way that we've not seen for a long time. So if that can be harnessed properly, then that, you know, is potentially a real positive.
I mean, so much has happened in 2 weeks. You literally have no idea how. I mean, we don't know, are we going to be back in August? There's so many ifs and buts, isn't there, again? You know, like...
I mean, my friend at United is concerned now that what happened yesterday will impact on whether we can have fans in the ground for the Fulham game. I still think we will, because I'll just tighten security, but that may happen. I mean, you know, the lad said that, you know, will it fizzle away, or, you know, will it get the Glazers out? No, yesterday won't get the Glazers out, but... It's the start, hopefully, of a campaign, a concerted effort by more and more people to make life uncomfortable for them. And I know the chances are that they, you know, they ignore everything and they're ruthless bastards. I've seen, you know, I've read what they've done with their own Tampa Bay supporters, where they have got a vested interest. So the you know, the ruthless bastards. But we've started today. Or yesterday, and I think we've got to continue it. And it, even if it only creates awareness around the world for another buyer to think, well, yeah, they are unhappy with the owners. Maybe the owners might drop the price a little bit, and I'll have a nibble at it. I mean, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, do you? But it's a start, and it's a bigger and better start than I anticipated.
I think the big one as well is, you know, a few people have mentioned it today. I mean, we were obviously there protesting as Manchester United supporters, but, you know, it is tied in with a bigger issue, isn't it, really, of ownership of club, you know, clubs up and down the country. You know, you've got the likes of Newcastle, Liverpool, Arsenal, but also, you know, further down the pyramid, you know, your Boltons and Berries and all these clubs that, you know, Macclesfield. And I think you said at the beginning, Barney, I think a lot of this does hinge on legislation and really trying to influence politicians to talk. Because these, you know, ultimately it's been talked about, it's cultural vandalism, isn't it? These football clubs and massive parts of the communities, whether it be Macclesfield or Newcastle or Manchester, and they're just, you know, they're treated as cash cows for foreign, you know, billionaires. And, it shouldn't be allowed to happen. So I think that is the route that we need to try and focus our energies, really.
Well, I think that loads of, you know, that's where I'm concentrating efforts, but that's because I'm at that particular stage in my life, you know. So that's where, but it would take many, many different routes and avenues, and the main thing is keeping it on people's lips, that you can't be avoided, you know, that they're being asked these questions, that they're being asked, that it's not going away again, that it's not going to be ignored, you know.
And that's what yesterday does, really, doesn't it? And if, you know, if you have more of that, and if you've seen it at other grounds with other clubs, then it stays on the agenda.
I don't know, you don't know, you know, how other clubs view us. There's so much animosity towards United anyway, but it would be nice if people go, hang on, you know, I'm actually going to try and intelligently listen and learn and not just make it about, you know. But then again, what hope, if you've got that on Match of the Day being given prime time slots, that's why the more people come on with an educated voice who can actually...
I've seen enough on Twitter today, Newcastle fans saying, you know, what, you know, it's favourite, all this coverage United are getting, it just shows favouritism to them. We didn't get it when we protested. Coventry fans slagging us off because they've been kicked out of the ground twice and they haven't had the sort of coverage we've had. So, you know, there's a few trying to stab us in the back as well, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, but there will be no unity.
No, but Coggy, you know...
I think there was 2 weeks ago, you know, with the exception of City, you know, who didn't say a bad word about their owners because they're, you know, it's trophies above morals as far as they're concerned. But, everybody else protested. But... you know, they've gone back to the tribal and you know, looking after themselves thing. So we won't get football unity on this. We've got to do it ourselves.
No, but also, Coggy, what you say there about Coventry, Bury, you know, football's broken. Football's broken. It's been for a very long time, you know.
Which is what I said to these guys. I said, you know, you should be thanking us and the other four clubs that protested about the Super League because, you know, we've basically saved your existence in many ways because... had the Super League got ahead, you wouldn't be around in 5 years' time. So, you know, you should be supporting what we're doing at the moment.
Did you say that in that nicer way?
Well, first of all, I told them to fuck off. But, I'm quite... Listen, I got bollocking from my kids. Saturday night, my two youngies said, Dad, you shouldn't be going to this year. You're too old for these sort of things and there's going to be trouble. I got my eldest daughter yesterday morning, I told her I was going, she said, Dad, you shouldn't be going, you're too old. And my other daughter, she said, don't get arrested. I mean, I don't know what they think I get up to.
Coggy, you talk about, like, I do get you mean other clubs, it does divide, it does creep out, but I've also seen a lot on social media supporting saying fair. Like, I know a West Ham sort of lad that seems to get, or goes home and away, never ever uttered a good word against United yet. Like, he on social media and he messaged me saying, like, I can only admire the stance, and it's like, if other clubs are doing the same as United, we'd all be in a better place collectively. And I think someone said a comment with Nick or you, Coggy, but I think there was quite a lot of admiration and possibly even a little bit of envy from other clubs thinking, I mean, I wish that was our club that had done that yesterday.
It was nice when they showed highlights. I don't know, is nice the right word? But seeing so many match-going faces altogether. I just thought, God, I miss these people.
You know. That was what was good about yesterday, wasn't it, lads? It was like the old days, you know, before social media, and it was the first game back at Old Trafford of the season, and you'd not seen anybody or been in touch with them since the previous May. And it was all embracing and drinking and being nice to each other. It was absolutely superb in that respect.
Well, it was like a match day, wasn't it? I mean, we did the usual, you know, had a pint on the way down, pint on the way back, and
I should have got Nick selling. That's a joke, people. By the way,
after not having football for a year, which would be the main place I go drinking, after meeting a few Reds a couple of Fridays ago, I realised that I'm way off the rhythm, as Van Gaal would say. Yeah, I need a lot of practice before we get. Yeah, there would be a lot of trouble for me.
And you're down with this sort of thing, banner, Nick.
Well, it was your idea.
Well, you didn't even know what it meant.
Nathan's asked to keep it, so I must have done a good job with it. He seems to quite enjoy it. It just made me laugh really yesterday, actually, because Coggy's saying that his kids are saying, don't get arrested. But I think they'd be pretty naffed off to see that he just, like, you know, a bit disappointed, sorry, to see that he just turned up with some of these wafer rolls and was dishing them out of the process.
I wondered who got those.
To me yesterday was, when you get old enough, he said, you get prepared for these sort of things. So I think this would have given it away to me yesterday. Coggy, you didn't have any thoughts on being arrested while you're out these labour bloody roles.
You sent me a photo, and
which
I thought,
excellent, by the way.
No, I thought, no, they've become hoi polloi.
A case of beer as well, right, for the young bucks. And we sat in my car, basically. It started pissing down the rain, so Nathan and Nick couldn't take the rain, so we had to get in the car. So we had a few beers in the car and everything. And I just had these in my boots, and they're great.
Well, I thought, but you sent the photo, and I thought, how very Red News protest, they're having wafer biscuits. It's like, what the fuck?
It's funny you bring it up, Nick, because I think it was the first time I met Coggy, but we was a year away somewhere, and I think Coggy, I remember being in the ground and sat there slumped. I was kind of on my knees, more or less, after 2 days of Amsterdam, and I remember Coggy, who was on a day trip, like getting out, he had small portion, small ration, but he was making me eat his food because he could see that I was in trouble. And so I think Coggy's caring nature on that front comes out to the fore.
Hey, I'm not known as saying Coggy for nothing.
Right, so we've gone on and on and on again. Right, people, sorry to put a random mag thing, but thank you so much for helping us reach target already. Incredible. It's open until July. If you can keep it going, you've kept Red News going for another year. The mag, we're trying to put all this into context intelligently semi-intelligently into the mag, so you can start pre-ordering that. And I'm sure we'll be on next week or whatever to be continued. But Young Reds, this is your era now, mate, and lads and lasses. So, what's your final comments, anyone?
I'm confident that we'll go through on Thursday.
I want to kind of bring up, like, off on a tangent, a light-hearted tangent is...
We need it, I think.
I've tagged off my Mart, or what are they, Pantomimes, my Marty's Royal Correspondence. My new one is Court Sketchers. You know the fellas that do the sketches in court? Well, Ryan Giggs one. Jesus Christ, it looks like he's already found him guilty and he's done 20 years. Christ almighty. What is all that about? They just get, like, how do you become a court sketcher? I just don't understand. It's weird.
I did see that, and it made me think, we all know what Giggs looks like. He's like, why are you drawing someone we know what he looks like?
Well, why draw someone we know who looks like, but looks nothing like the person we know that they look like?
Why do we have them these days? Surely
they've
got mobile phones.
I don't know.
I saw that he, like Kevin Webster, he looked like more like Roy Cropper, who was on a massive come down or something. Jesus Christ. Don't give it to Giggsy for a season.
perhaps you've got to fail your O-level art to become one of these courts recorders, I don't know.
I'm just thinking, Coggy, thank God, let's leave it there so we don't have to take anything out, please.
Listen, mate, I've bit my tongue three times tonight.
Right, that's good, because I want to do it straight away. But, I mean, just in a year of surprises, wow, you know. So, final words, anyone?
Up the revolution.
I just find it amusing that while the more militant edge of our support were on the pitch and outside the Lowry, Red News were sharing wafers and holding up placards from Father Ted. It takes all sorts in a revolution.
That's what I mean. All right, lads. Cheers. And take care, everyone. All right, see you later. Thank you.